Be calm. Tamar's on.
Welcome to Tamar Talk, where music is constant and discovery is endless. Now your host is ready to tell it all. Ashley Tamar!
Hey, you guys, what's up? Good morning. It's your girl, Ashley Tamar. Happy Tuesday. It's August 20th, and you're listening to Tamar Talks Radio. It is a lot going on, right? Are we already in August? It's crazy. I am so thankful for you guys listening and tuning in and saying how much you enjoy the podcast. I know podcasts have now been the new thing, and I had started this last year just because I wanted people to get more of my personality and more of my thoughts and on the music business and just on life in general. And then I wanted to bring some attention to some people who I think are very prominent in what they do, and they're more so behind the scenes. And I felt like, you know, hey, it's time people should be heard. So that's what Tamar Talks Radio is all about. It's your girl, Ashley Tamar. One of the things I wanted to talk to you guys about is an article I came across on Billboard. I don't know if you guys know anything about payola, but payola has been around since the beginning of time. I actually have in my book a definition of what it is. It's kind of like called pay to play. And it's funny because they started an investigation in New York some years ago, and they were just saying how major labels were going to agree to not... There was a multi-million dollar settlement that took place, and basically they were agreeing to not pay to play, and a lot of artists were getting pushed on radio. And back in the day, it was, you know, they bribed the DJs through ticket sales or trips across the world or sneakers or whatever. And now they're saying that the new payola is they're paying LLCs. And I thought it was very interesting because a lot of people ask me personally, this is a personal kind of, you know, telling you guys what's been going on into my world without giving everything away before my book comes out next year. But a lot of people are like, well, why don't I hear your songs on the radio, or why don't I hear this? Well, you know, the Billboard article, if you guys do read, if you like to read, if you don't like to read, if you really want to find out more about it, I actually printed out the article. It's like 10 pages in tangible form, but online it is very lengthy and it's very wordy. And so, long story short, there was an attorney named Bob Donnelly who did a lot of investigation about it, and they were just trying to figure out how a lot of artists are still getting paid on radio and you're not hearing other artists. And it's a lot of big red tape. It's a lot of it's a conglomerate, and it starts from the head on down. And people ask me, why don't I hear your songs on the radio and yada yada yada. Well, first of all, I don't have the budget to hire an independent promoter. God has blessed me to make great music and a great living. However, I don't have 50 grand to put aside, honestly, to push a record. And the reality is, sometimes you can have 50 grand and push a single, and that won't even guarantee you 300 spins on one radio station. And so this is kind of like me just making an awareness to some articles that are out there. Payola is still around, and it's really sad. And I think the biggest, if someone were to say, you know, one thing I don't like is when people always complain about something, or they talk about a problem and they don't give a solution. So my solution, and it's something that I'm really working on, is to create a creative development fund. So if you know any investors who are really, really ready to invest in the music business, not just in me, but just in general, I really would love to see a creative development fund for independent artists to at least get their push and almost become an artistic startup. Well, not almost. I would love to become an artistic startup where at least we're getting people in the door. Now, what you do once you get in there, that's up to you. But people don't understand the funding is so low when it comes to independent artists. That's why social media is big. That's why, you know, once you get X amount of followers, you do kind of get some checks. But then at the same time, once you get certain followers, brands are coming after you to do a lot of sponsorships. And that's why the laws are even changing with, because of that whole Fyre festival, they're now made it a law. Like, if you are promoting anything, you have to put that sponsor up there. If you are getting paid to talk about a festival, a concert, a shoe, a t-shirt, some jewelry, you have to add that sponsor in there so that the audience knows you're getting paid to advertise this stuff, which I guess in return, if you're going to advertise someone's stuff, give them, you know, their ownership. And then at the same time, let people know you've been paid to do it. So anyways, I'm your girl, Ashley Tamar. I had to just kind of give that out there because anytime I find articles that I think are very, very, very interesting, I could go on and on and on about payola, but I don't want to do that right now. So we have a special guest on Tamar Talks. Coming up next, we have the infamous Jelly Bean Johnson, and I am so excited to share this interview with you guys. I hope you're going to enjoy it and be inspired. It's your girl, Ashley Tamar, and you know what? You're listening to, well, one day you will be, but you're listening to Tamar Talks Radio.
This is the Tamar Podcast.
It's the early morning, the smell of coffee and the laughter near. I feel so ready for what the day brings when the sky is clear. 'Cause it's a good day today, make today a good day. It's a good day today, have a good day today.
What was your childhood like? Like, was it good? Was it not so good? Did it help you in pursuing your gifts? And then, I'm an 80s baby, so I didn't know that you were really a drummer, sir. So you got to chat with us about this now.
I always tell people the drums pay the bills. The guitar for me is spiritual and emotional. The drums are physical and violent, and the drums pay the bills. So what helped me, Tamar, is my mother. I had a very supportive mother that really helped me along. You know, my dad wasn't really around, but my mom saw at a young age that I had talent. She finally got me a drum set that I couldn't break. You know, from the ages from 10 through 12, she would buy, you know, these drum sets that were like paper, and they'd be tore up on Christmas night. She'd buy them, I'd get them for Christmas, they'd be tore up on Christmas night. So she finally realized that I had talent, and she bought me a drum set when I was 13 that I couldn't tear up. And that's when it started for me. As far as, like, the guitar stuff, a cousin of mine was staying with us when I was, like, 15. He was staying with my mother and my brother and us. And he had a guitar. So he wasn't really paying attention to it, so I started learning how to play it and stuff. And, you know, he went back home, but he left the guitar. So, you know, during the ages of 15, you know, around 14, 15, I just taught myself how to play, you know, kind of decent and stuff. It was ironical. He came over to the house then after a while, and he saw I could play, and he took the guitar. So my mother then bought me a guitar, my own guitar. So it was like she bought my, you know, just like she had done with the drums, she bought me a guitar that was cool. And I just went from there. So I'm self-taught, basically, you know. I absorb a lot of stuff. I guess that's a blessing and a curse, but it worked out for me.
Let me ask a question. So what was the first song when you got your drums, your official drum set? Like, did you just start playing with music? Like, was there a song that you really liked that you wanted to learn at 13?
Yeah.
What was that experience like?
You know what it was? It was Cold Sweat by James Brown. And that's the thing. You know, I love James Brown. I loved all his drummers. I loved Tower of Power and all that. And so my mom, you know, she see I was trying to, you know, get something going with this. So she put me in lessons for like 6 months. Well, the only problem with that is that being a, you know, a 13-year-old kid is you go to school 5 days a week and you get up 7-8 o'clock in the morning, and then the drum lessons on Saturday at 8 o'clock in the morning, and then the guy wasn't teaching me nothing but rock and roll beats. Well, here I'm this, you know, urban kid from Chicago. I didn't want to learn that. So after about 6 months, I told my mom, you know, let's stop doing the lessons because I wasn't learning, you know, what I wanted to learn. I would come home and sit down by the record player and listen to, you know, James Brown, you know, do Soul Power and Cold Sweat and all that. You know, Papa Got a Brand New Bag and all that. And that's the kind of beats I taught myself to play. So,
do you teach lessons today?
You know, people ask me all the time, but my schedule just won't allow that, you know, for me to do that. So I don't, and I'm such a, you know, self-taught player. I don't know if I can really you know, I can show them about film. You know, Cassie was talking to me about that because I'm such a field player, and I'm not that technical. I just, you know, I just know how to do certain things, you know, and it just comes out the right way. Lucky for me.
So you said, yeah. So you said from Chicago, has the music scene changed from when you grew up in Chicago? Do you think it's kind of, you know, still popping up there? How do you see music up there from Chicago?
Okay, Chicago, for me, the Chicago blues scene is one of the tops in the world, the blues scene especially. It's a lot of top-notch musicians that live in Chicago. But then on the other hand, Tamar, you got all the violence and all the killing and all the craziness that goes on there too. So, it's, you know, I'm happy for them, but I'm sad at the same time because, you know, there's a lot of great musicians there that struggle because of what's going on there, the gun violence and the, you know, the police stuff. It's just bad. But the blues scene is off the chain there. I go there still. I have a great friend of mine. I did his first three records. His name is Ronnie Baker Brooks. His dad was Lonnie Brooks, a blues legend. And we did. He lives in Chicago. He's, you know, grew up in Chicago, born and raised in Chicago, and everything. And he still lives there. You know, he still lives there and is vibrant in the blues scene. And now he's a national act too. But you know, I worry about him all the time too, you know, because, you know, it's just crazy. You know, there's 2 a.m. in certain spots in Chicago you just can't be. You know, you just cannot.
I love Chicago, by the way, but I can't even imagine.
I love it. I was born there. Yeah. I will always have a great love for it. And I still, I go there now, but I, you know, I know the spots to be at and the spots not to be at.
So, was Jelly Bean the name that was given to you? Like, it you know. We have to let the audience know, like, how did this come about? I'm so curious to hear this story.
You know, I always had to tell a short version of it. It was, you know, when I was 17 years old, Flight Time was a band before it was a, you know, a great, you know, the world famous production company that it is today. But we were a band and we were all 15, 16, 17 years old. And there was a spot down here in downtown Minneapolis called a Flame Bar. And we were playing there. I don't know. Don't ask me how. We were playing there 7 nights a week, even though we had school in the morning. We would play there. And so anyway, we was there one night. It was a Tuesday night. You know, Tuesday nights is, you know, in most spots, it's kind of empty unless you really got something people want to see, whatever. But anyway, we were in there, and we sounded kind of bad. So we came off the stage, and our trumpet player said, "Damn, we sound really bad." He said, "Damn, we sound like a bunch of jelly beans." So everybody fell out and stuff. And then he said, "Oh, Jelly Bean Johnson." And everybody just lost it, you know. And so I didn't think nothing of it. So then he comes the next day. He had went, I don't know, did he right after school or whatever, he went to a T-shirt place and had a T-shirt made with Jelly Bean on it. And I've been Jelly Bean Johnson ever since. It's kind of crazy.
Wow, Jelly Beans. That's like a popular candy. I don't see how you could take a bad sound and make it to, like I could see if he said licorice. Licorice is not a favorite, but...
Hey, Bart, people ask me to this day, do you like jelly beans? I know, I really don't, but, you know, that's the name, and I'm sticking to it, you know. Quick thing, when I was in Prince's organization, you know, I don't know if you remember, you're an 80s baby, but anyway, there was this famous disc jockey that used to be in with Madonna. His name was Jelly Bean Benitez. And so, anyway, when Purple Rain came out, he called Prince's organization, he called PRN and asked him for me to change my name, because he was Jelly Bean. Well, you know, of course, Prince told him to get the hell off the phone. You know that. So, but I thought at the Grammys years later, he was apologizing and stuff. But, yeah, he said, you know, dude, get out of here. He's Jelly Bean Johnson. You Jelly Bean Benitez. There's a difference. Yeah.
Interesting. Okay. So this is – I'm so glad that you're sharing this information on my podcast. I'm so honored. I'm so excited. So let's get to the meat of a lot of stuff. I mean, the music business is definitely – I don't know what's going on right now. I'm sure you don't either. And
no.
I know for me, I knew who you were. I'd heard your name a gazillion times leading up into the time I performed with you, but had no idea that you co-produced one of my favorite songs of all time. And so when you recorded and produced, first of all, tell people what does that mean when you were producing this record back in the 1990s? And based on production back then, how has that changed today? And do you even feel like classic timeless songs are being made like the way you guys were producing them in the 90s?
First off, it was a blessing for us to be come along at that time and stuff. And like you say, Tamar, the business back then was so different. You know, Jimmy and Terry hired me, you know, after I left Prince's organization, Jimmy and Terry hired me as a staff producer at Flight Time Productions. So by this time, they had, you know, made a name, a pretty good name for themselves, and they were doing like Janet and Alexander O'Neill, Nona Hendricks, and they would include me in these projects. They want me to do like one or two songs, you know, so they would have some variety on the album. Everything would sound just like all them. And they knew that I had kind of like a rock edge to me. So I would always bring, you know, guitar-driven stuff to them. And I was just lucky that they liked it, you know. You know, it started when I did the solo on Innocent for Alexander O'Neill. And so they knew I had like a rock, you know, kind of edge to me and stuff. So they would let me do like one or two. With New Edition, Heartbreak Hotel, I did like over, you know, half of that album because I did four songs for New Edition and I wrote two for them. So I did a lot of more work on that. But most of the times it was one or two songs and it would be different, you know, than their stuff, and that's what they liked about it.
So you feel rock has, and that's what's missing outside of us not being able to tell people what we have going on. Do you feel rock has drastically changed, especially when it comes to like women, like the Tina Turners, Black
absolutely.
Cat, I think. Yeah, it definitely has, right? There's like a big open market for it, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's sad because, you know, we got some serious Black women out here that can do that, like yourself. You know, and that was the thing. You know, it's funny when I did Black Cat with Janet, and I remember having a conversation with her. I said, you know, I just want you to sound like a rock queen. And she knew exactly. She embraced what I said. And, you know, I figured her brother at this time, Michael, had Beat It. You know, had it Dirty Down and all that kind of stuff. So I'm thinking, you know, this is a sister. Why can't we rock out with her? You know, and she brought me the riff. It was on a piano, mind you. And, you know, I heard it. And I was like, oh, okay. And so we went from there. I rocked it up. We got Marshalls and I got some friends. And we just turned it into this, like, rock anthem and stuff. You know, and then when we sung the vocals and stuff, so, you know, she brought me the lyrics. And I said, you know, like I said, I want you to sound like a rock queen on this. So we kicked everybody out of the studio. It was just me and her, and we just went for it. And that's what you hear when you hear a Black Cat.
Wow. Do you think that when that song hit, you became, like, did people start noticing you? Were you, you know, social media is around today. So did you capitalize on it, per se? Did you kind of just be like, huh, you know, it is what it is.
Probably.
You just keep it moving, or did you relish in that opportunity?
You know, I have to admit, you know, me and Terry and Jimmy were on a show, and Black Cat was number one at the time, and they was with the Jelly Bean noted as number one. And Tamar, I was kind of oblivious. I'm not going to lie about it, you know, because it was a whole different world for me. Also, all the heavy metal guys had lost it. When they heard that Janet Jackson sounded like that, they was like all the Motley Crues and Rats and Van Halens and all them guys could not believe that, you know, that these two Black people came up with something that heavy, you know.
Well, I can't wait to hear more of what you have going on. Of course, we can't talk too much about that right now, but I know I'm, after that performance, ew, that was it. That was cloud. You know, and over time, you know, as a Black woman, you get discouraged because it's just like, I knew I've always liked rock, but people like you said, the collaborations are there and you pull out stuff in people. But I think right now a lot in our culture is, oh, that's not what's popular. And so then when people see it, they're just kind of like, oh, my God, they think it's something new. And it's just like Tina Turner was doing this stuff. You know what I mean?
20 years ago, yeah. The white people embraced Tina Turner. And I'm going to say this. I don't mean to sound rude and everything, but there's some Black people that cannot stand loud guitar, man. You know, and I just don't get that. One of the greatest guitar players of all time, Jimi Hendrix, is Black. Hard for them to embrace a guitar in your face. Now, me and you personally, you know, we love that in your face kind of mentality like that. I love that, you know, because I grew up on rock. I grew up around a lot of heavy metal stuff. You know, I love Living Color, you know, people like that, you know, Van Halen. I grew up on that stuff, but I wasn't supposed to be like that because I'm Black. Well, I'm sorry.
Right.
You know, I can't apologize for that. Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's a great way to segue into something that I think is dear to me, which I don't get to talk about much. What do you think are some of the issues that you see with, and I hate to make it a Black or white thing, but do you see like that are still prevalent today? Like you said, like back then it was Jimi Hendrix and we applauded that. And it was the Caucasian audiences that gave Tina Turner, you know, her eating power and sustainability. Do you feel like economically we don't have the money to go and see it? Do you think we kind of are just like, you know, I don't care for it. What do you think lacks between us really supporting each other in these kind of genres in particular?
It's so frustrating, Tamar, you know, because that, you know, it's hard to get our people to support the hard edge music like that. As I said, now white people will, but it is hard to get black people to embrace that. And that's been my frustration for a lot of years like that. But, you know, I don't apologize for my rock edge. I'm always going to have that. Now, I've learned over the years, especially being 16 years old, that everybody ain't going to like you. That's just bottom line. And it took me a while to understand that. I've been lucky because I've been in the funk rock idiom, and people know I'm more famous for the funk and the funk stuff. But my rock edge, you know, a lot of black people don't know about that. They just don't.
Do you find that it still brings you joy, though, when you're, you know, absolutely, still doing what you love, and then you look out in the audience and it hurts to not see more people of your race be out there? And how do you push toward, like, was there ever a moment where you were just like, man, maybe I shouldn't just do this anymore. Maybe I should just do R&B or, you know.
I embrace the fact that I knew everybody wasn't going to like me. And if that was the case, that's so be it. But I get a pure joy when I'm playing my instruments. Especially, like I said, the guitar is really special to me when I play. So I get a pure joy out of it. I get a pure joy watching other great guitar players because I learn from them. I take from them, you know. So,
what other guitar players are you listening to today?
Oh, there's so many. There's so many black and white, man. You know, I love Ernie Isley. I love Hendrix. I love Jesse. I love Prince. You know, it's a bunch of guys, man. Isaiah Sharkey, you know, lives in Chicago.
Yeah.
Eddie Van Halen, you know, just a bunch of guys like Gary Moore, Robin Trower, Frank Marino. I could go on, you know.
So you work with some of the greatest, but you produce some of the greatest hits. At this moment in your career, what is, like, what's important to you? Is it important to you to really get out new content and really not care about the numbers and stay live? Like, where's your head today, like, right now?
That's pretty much where it is. Tamar, you just hit it on the head. I'm just trying to get content out there and get people, you know, I'm in the fourth quarter. I always say that people, a lot of my managers don't like to hear me say that, but I'm in the fourth quarter. So I my whole thing right now is to get more content out there, let people see more what Jelly Bean Johnson is about. You know, I have a rock edge to me. Like I said, I have a blues edge to me. You know, the funk is always going to be there. And I want to get all these idioms out me and out to the, you know, to the public and stuff before they put me in the ground. You know, I want to leave this around so people can hear it and see what Jelly Bean Johnson was really about. So that's what I'm working toward now. And, you know, and try to keep the lights on at the same time.
I understand. Is there any other artists that you would say, like, in an ideal, perfect world, this is the kind of show you want to put on?
Yeah. Actually, you involved in that.
I know, Jelly. We can't talk about that too much, y'all. We can't let that cat out the bag.
Let that cat out the bag, but you were involved, so we're going to leave it at that. I'll let them, they can grill you about that later, but you were involved with what we're trying to do, and I think if we pull it off, people are going to be, you know, pleasantly surprised. I really believe so.
All right, one more question. So working with Prince, because we have that in common, and we're not going to, it's just the last question. What is something that you could say, you know what, I really miss this about this guy? What is it that you miss about him?
You know what I miss about him, Tamar, is I used to jam with that guy to the wee hours of the morning. I used to be out Paisley till the sun come up. This is how crazy it was. And those are the times I miss. Back in the 90s, he would be messing with me from the stage. He'd be saying, talking to me while, you know how he is. He'd be talking to me on stage, saying crazy stuff. And that's the part I miss. I miss that playful, joyful Prince that was like me, just loved to play in front of a bunch of people and put on a show. And that's the part I miss, you know. And, you know, it's kind of ironic. I just finished an interview before I came in with Joe Kelly up in Connecticut. And he was asking me about that. And I told him, I said, yeah, man, you know, because he said, yeah, you guys played like a few months before he passed. I said, yeah. And I said, I'll never forget I don't know if people remember this, about a year ago, me and Morris was doing the switch in concert, you know. I would go up front and play like Black Cat on the guitar and scream and solo a little bit, and he would go back and play the drums. So anyway, we actually did that at Paisley that April, you know, and Prince had invited us out there. And I remember doing it, my guitar's turned up loud as hell up in Paisley and screaming, but I'm thinking, I'm anticipating he's going to hit the stage with us at any time. And then afterward, he didn't. And then afterward, he hung out with Morris for like 2 hours, and he told Morris it took all his willpower not to come up there when me and Morris were doing that, you know, because that's, you know, the Times record started with him and Morris, you know, drum and him, you know, so. So yeah.
Wow. Well, before you go, tell us about this new single that's just bonkers and bananas and true to who you are, this whole rock funk edge. Tell us a little bit about us. Tell us where we can follow you, because we're going to play the okay. song after this podcast. So tell us about the song and everything and what made you create it and what, you know.
Okay. I have a single out called Put Some Jelly On It, and you can see CD Baby and Butterfly and all that. And, you know, my boy Ronnie Baker Brooks wrote it. You know, like I said, I did his first three records out of Chicago. And the cool thing about this, Tamar, is this has the Minneapolis, classic Minneapolis sound, because I got all the best cats. I got Michael Bland. I got Tracy Blake. I have Chance Howard on this. And, but the cool thing is that after we did this, Ronnie took it to Chicago. I don't know, you are 80s, baby, but you might not remember this. This guy, his name is Tom Washington. He did all the Earth, Wind & Fire early horns. You know, all the horns on those classic songs, Earth, Wind & Fire, Getaway and all that stuff, he did that. But anyway, Ronnie took it to Chicago, and Tom took six horn players out of Chicago and put the horns on it, and it just opened the whole thing up, and it's frightening. Put Some Jelly On It. It's got my name on it. It's just the way it turned out. I couldn't ask for nothing better, you know. So it was just great to come out. For years, people have been saying, Bean, get a lead singer. Bean, do this. You know, Bean, you should have your own record. But, you know, I never really wanted to be in charge. I never did. You know, I've been a side guy all my life. You know, so it was just great to see something with my name on it and for, you know, my thing. And it just came out good like that. I have a new one coming out that's going. You personally are going to like probably even more, because it's going to be more of my funk rock black cat edge. My next single, and it's going to be by Tracy Blake, and it's going to be my time to shine. So that's coming up in the coming months and stuff. But this I'm just, like I said, I'm just trying to get stuff out there in the universe, you know, and let people know what Jelly Bean Johnson is about. So.
Well, I am so excited for everything that's about to come up. I'm excited to work with you on some new stuff this year.
We're ready to think about another door, Tamar.
Yeah, we really are. We're no more compromising the sound. So I am so honored that you did this Tamar Talks podcast. I don't even know how to say thank you outside of what we're about to do. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
From the bottom of my heart.
I'm looking forward to seeing you and doing more work. You keep it up. You are the truth.
Woo! Pump! Well, put some jelly on it. It's my duty to make you shake that booty.
nice to meet ya. You look so good to me. What's that in your hand? I said, fruit from the apple tree. Would you like to take a bite and make our way upstream? Before we left the garden, came a sight so tempting, saying, who are you and where did you come from? I want to get to know you. Have anything you wanna have, what you please. Don't say I didn't want you. A price you pay forever. Don't eat from this apple tree. Said, boom, 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 boom. Boom, 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 boom. So, tell me your goals, cause your vibe is something rare. Your innocence is charming, he seemed to really care. To love beyond what the eye can, seeing all my flaws and flares. Before sin destroyed us, from the first fall and all its snares. So who are you, and where did you come from? I want to get to know you, have anything you wanna have. Don't say I didn't warn you. A price you pay forever. Don't eat from this apple tree. So we dominated, named everything we could. Gave life to Cain and Abel. Soon we were understood. We're fruitful, multiplied, envied by all mankind. Selfish in all desires. I apologize. And who are you? And where did you come from? I want to get to know you. Have anything you want? Apple tree. It's gonna be a new day. It's gonna be a new day. It ain't easy when you wake up every morning and you're feeling into thinking that today is gonna be a new day. When the sun comes out, but your mind is in a battle and your faith is in a saddle, trying to get ahead and see the light that's trying to make way through the clouds. It's so hard to live a life when you've given it your all, when you're letting go the past. Optimistic, hear the call. Where's the understanding to endure, afraid another fall? Living life ain't stressing. What you think of me? To do what's choosing, which way is right. Hey. So I close the door, turn off the radio, find the quiet place and shut my eyes. Picture me in space where I have no doubt. Time to turn off all the noise. We'll let the outside in destroy. All I have worked hard for, reaching stars that I know will take me far. It seems so clear to me. Be all that I ever thought I could. And now that you are here, I know I'm understood. When I'm weak, you are strong. My everything, my all in all. When I'm alone, you're all I want. Come for me, with you I belong.
All I needed was the power and the blood on Calvary.
I beg the truth, now I know the truth. And that is when you came and said I was beautiful, loved and blessed. I'm better than the day before, 'cause you made me confess that I am beautiful, loved and blessed. When you're free, you're really free indeed. All you gotta do is just plant the seed.
A constant battle to stay ahead of the game. Is anybody famous? When everybody wants fame. Always trying to break you down, thinking that it'll raise them up.
I just wanna be happy. Come take this bitter cup from me.
If I were to ever write down my life story, I could truly say, with all the fame and glory, I was just a piece of clay in need of the potter's hand. 'Cause when you whispered in my ear the words I somehow understand, oh,
beautiful, loved and blessed. I'm better than the day before, 'cause you made me confess that I am beautiful, loved and blessed. When you're free, you're really free indeed. All you gotta do is just plant the seed.
Oh. Everything you made, you said. Before the fall of man, you said. Every time I walk in faith, you let me see another day. Before the earth was made, you said, I will lead the way and you'll
go far.
Knowledge and understanding, understanding is good. And when I wake up in the morning, all I hear in my hood is people saying that they're
beautiful, beautiful.
Will you rescue me from the darkness? And now I just must confess,
I am beautiful, loved and blessed.
When you're free, when you're free indeed, all you gotta do is just plant the seed.
Hey, 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 wake up, it's a new day. Hey, 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 wave your hands in the air and say, hey, 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 wake up, it's a new day. Hey, 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 wave your hands in the air and say,
oh, 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 oh.
Beautiful.
yes it is.
Funky.
I'm hot, and I don't care who knows it. I got a job to do.
Thank you.
Yes. Come on. I'm working. Working up a black sweat. I'm working. Ooh. Working up a black sweat. I'm working.
Working up a black